you, Lord. Yeah. All right. How many of you ready for the word? You sure? Y'all sound like y'all ready to go to sleep. Do we need to shake and do the Bernie to wake up a little bit? No? Everybody up? If you up, say amen. If you're not, stand up and shake. Okay, that means you're all awake. All right, let's get into the word. We are in a series called Fresh Eyes. This is a series where we are looking at the Christmas story in a brand new way. We talked about how many times you can see this story over and over again and get really comfortable with it, but God has something fresh and new in store for us each and every time we read his word, but in particular at the Christmas season. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 1 through 2, and then we're going to jump down to verse 9 through 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, and then jump down to verse 9 through 11. Once you find it, would you do me a favor and stand out of reverence for the word of God, as is our custom? We would greatly appreciate it. The words are going to appear on your screen. In case you don't have the New King James Version of the Bible, that's okay. That's the one we're going to be reading from. But for the sake of us reading together, we're going to put the words on the screen. But before we do that, how many of y'all found it already? Say amen. All right, because y'all got me a little nervous up here. So let me tell you a little something. I came from a predominantly African-American church. And in that church, you see, so that was somebody black, I guarantee you. And in that church, we talk to our pastors. We say stuff back. So it's all right if you say amen. Everybody say amen. It's all right if you say amen means I agree. Did you know that? It means let it be so, I agree. So it's okay if you say amen. It's okay if you say hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord in the highest form. That's a pretty good word. It's all right if you say, man, ouch, that was tough. I can take that too. But whatever it is, how about we do a little talking today? Is that all right? All right, all right. Let's start by talking this way. Let's lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air, and let's say our Bible affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, let's meet Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, and then we'll skip down to verse 9 through 11 together. Now, after Jesus, you ready? Let's go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Let's skip down to verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Father, we thank you so much for this message today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would minister a word to us. We pray that you will deal with the deep, dark questions that we've been asking about life and about you today. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would use me, that you would set me aside, and you would speak to your people. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, show me a sign. Come on, turn to somebody else and be like, look, I need a sign. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The title of my message today is Show Me a Sign. Show me a sign. You know what? As a kid, you probably had a lot of questions every Christmas. You had questions like, wonder what I'm going to get for Christmas. Another question is Santa really going to come? Is Santa real? How can he get all the way around the world in one night? Other questions like, well, am I on the nice list or the naughty list? You know, one of my favorite commercials now is kids doing these nice things for their parents. And they're doing them because they're like, they want to make sure they're on the nice list. I wish my kids were like that. I'll tell you about them in a minute. I also wonder, am I going to get socks? Because if you came from the hood, you didn't get toys. You got practical stuff, socks and underwear. Like, what kind of gift is this? Don't you need socks and underwear? Yeah, but ain't the gift supposed to be special? Well, them some special colored socks and special colored underwear. You better take them socks and be grateful. Kids in Africa ain't got no socks and underwear. Don't nobody remember hearing those stories? Poor kids in Africa, they keep getting blamed for everything, right? Them kids in Africa ain't got that. They are, look, come on, we want to praise the Lord. They're doing just fine. But isn't that interesting? But what's interesting is as we get older, our questions shift. There are a few less questions about what's under the tree and more questions about, you know, how am I going to pay for what's under the tree? Or maybe this Christmas, the question isn't how I'm going to pay for it, but how am I going to keep my family together because we've fallen apart? Or maybe the questions are, I live in Silicon Valley. How am I going to keep paying this rent? Like, we praise you, Lord, we got a house for this Christmas, but what about January, Jesus? Come on, somebody. We ask questions like, God, is this as good as life going to get? I mean, is this all I've been working for all my life? We ask questions like, God, why do I feel the way I feel if you are still really in my life? Why am I still struggling? If God is God, why is there so much evil? It's really interesting how things shift for us at Christmas and what our questions are as we become adults. And I'm starting to watch that shift even in my children because my boys are 12 and 14 years old. And it's funny because they're making that switch from only wanting toys. You know, when they're little, toys, I don't even know the name of the store. What is it? Toys for us? Toys R Us. See, I don't even know the name of the store no more because I don't have to go. But when they were little, Toys R Us was the place you stayed in. You hung out at Christmas. But now that they're older, it's like, what do you get them? Right? And I'm watching that transition happening as they're 12 and 14 years old. And they're funny because, you know, you think the best gifts for kids are just cash. But then my kids are like, but we still want something to open. So, you know, when I went through that transition, what my mother do is she would still give me socks. But she would put cash in the socks. It'd be like $20 in the sock. And then you get one box, there's a sock, and it's $20. And you open up another box, it's socks, and it's $20. So she would take the $20 and spread them out. So you have like 15 different things to open them, but they all got like $5, $10, $20 in them. But things shifted, right? Because we love gifts and we love opening them. But as we get older, our focus changes from the toys and from the things that we see. It moves from that whole idea and the excitement of getting to get this gift, this toy that we've always wanted, to realizing that life has some different things. And today's text takes us right into the heart of these questions that we bring into our lives. We've already seen the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary in the first week. Last week, we've seen it through the eyes of the shepherd. And today, we're going to look at it through the eyes of some people that Matthew wrote about. Now, sometimes we call these the Magi. Sometimes we call them wise men. What do you know about these visitors is the question. We always see them in the Christmas story. We always see them in the nativity scene. But it's not really so much what we know about them. I think it's what we don't know about them that's really interesting. So let me give you a little pop quiz. How many wise men were there? Three? Well, I hate to burst your bubble. The Bible doesn't tell you. Very good. The Bible doesn't tell us how many there were, but people have gotten into the fact that there was three because they brought frankincense, myrrh, and gold. So we figured if there was three gifts, it must have been three people. But how many of y'all been with folks who brought gifts and you didn't have nothing sometimes? Right. So it's possible that there were more. What else do we not know about these people? Well, we don't know where they came from. Some say they came from Persia. Some say they came from Yemen. Some say they came from India or Babylon. Others say they came from as far away as China. But we really are not 100% sure. There's no way the Bible will tell us. Well, here's the next question. Were they kings? Anybody know? Are they kings? Yes or no? Y'all too scared to answer now because of all the other questions. Well, let me help you. Maybe, but again, we don't know if they really are kings. The best evidence suggests that they were astrologers or people who studied the stars and the skies. And they were members of a priestly religious class, possibly in Persia, called the Magi, meaning magician or skilled magician or astrologer. In other words, they were really interested in the supernatural. They loved the supernatural. So what we do know is they were looking for answers in the stars. This was their life. They looked in the stars to try to find answers and to find meaning. And maybe you've done that. Maybe there are times, how many of y'all remember the horoscopes? I don't know if people still read horoscopes, but back in the day, people would read their horoscopes because we were trying to find an answer. Now, maybe we was like being funny, like, nah, I don't believe that, but we still read it. Yeah, right? We're still looking into the stars, into the sky, or so to speak, to try to find answers. But maybe you've gone and read spiritual books or books on Christianity, or maybe even the thought things on atheism because you just weren't sure if you believed God or not. At this point, you just want somebody to answer your questions once and for all as to why am I here on earth? What is the reason I'm going through what I'm going through? And if you have those type of questions, then you can relate to the struggle that you and the Magi have together. Look, what is going on here, right? You're looking for answers. So we look at our text, and as we go back to our text, we're going to see some things in this text that I hope will help to answer these questions as we talk about show me a sign. Matthew 2, verse 1, 2, I'll read it again. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, what's interesting is that these men saw a sign in a star in the sky and they started following it. It was very interesting to me. Like, I started looking this and I was like, hold up. They actually came asking the question saying, I saw a star and I know that there's this king that's being born. Where is he? I found that interesting because these guys don't know God the way that Mary and Joseph and the shepherds knew God. They didn't have the Old Testament. They didn't have Jesus's birth, death, and resurrection to see that he was alive. They didn't have the miracles. How did they know about this guy named Jesus? It was very interesting to me that they used the stars to say that there is some powerful person being born. And the reason is, in those times, astrological signs of stars or planets moving, as we now know them to be planets, they didn't know them planets at the time, those represented births of powerful beings. So we think they may have somewhere heard a story about this powerful being being born. But it begs to differ when you think about that, because I say to myself, why are you looking in the stars for them? You know why? Because they were like, show me something. Show me a sign. How many of us have been asking God to show us a sign of any? Just God, show me that you're real. Show me that you're with me. Show me that you're still working. Show me you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And oftentimes we look in some weird places for a sign, don't we? We drive on the road and we hope it's a billboard that says, I'm here. Come on. We talk to people and we hope that when we talk to people, they'll say something that reminds us of the dream we had that just matches so we know that that's a sign that God is moving. All of us are just like the Magi. I don't care if you have been saved for thousands of years or if you just gave your life to Christ or you don't even know Jesus. You're looking for a sign. Everybody's looking for a sign. So here they were. They saw this sign. And what's interesting to me is they didn't just see it, but they also, they went and followed it. Now, it's one thing to say, I see a star in the sky, somebody powerful is being born. But you know you're hungry for an answer when you pick up, you pack your stuff, you pack a gift even, and you take off on a journey. Now, we don't know how long the journey is because we don't know how long they were traveling, but it could have been 100 miles. It could have been thousands of miles. But they were so hungry for an answer that they decided we're going to follow the sign. How hungry are you for God to answer whatever question you have? How many times do we have questions and we're like, I got a question, God. We ask it in prayer and then we leave it alone and don't do anything else with it. And then we wonder why God ain't shown us anything. I think that's a part of the reason why we want a sign so bad. Because we don't want to work. Okay, this ain't a part of the message, but let me help you. I'm going to give this to you for extra free. The message is already free. This is about to be extra free. That means this is a bonus. Here's the bonus. The bonus is when you have questions and you begin to talk to God, I love Father God because God knows what's on your heart. And the Bible says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you're diligently going after and searching for truth, God is like, I'm not hiding the truth from you. I am going to give you the truth. I'm not going to let you stay there and be living in a space where you don't know the answers. And most of y'all are like, but I still don't know the answers. Then I'm going to say this, keep searching. And when I explain at the end of this what you're really searching for, you're going to be like, light bulb moment. But I got to hold off on the light bulb moment. Let me just deal with this. I love that you're here this morning, because the fact that you're here this morning tells me that you have not stopped searching. You're not done. You're not done seeking God for an answer. And here's the thing, that God saw that they were searching. And God used a non-biblical, non-traditional thing like a star in the sky to speak to these men. Let me see if I can break this down for you. God wanted to get them the answer so badly that he used an astrological sign, which God don't even work in astrological signs. Because he figured, if I could do that, then I can reach these people who I love so much. They weren't Jews. They didn't know God. They were seeking answers, and God led them on a journey. I want to tell you something, that when you start seeking God, God will take you on a journey to get to the solution. And sometimes he'll use whatever. If it's sports, he'll use sports. If it's your relationship with your spouse, he'll use the relationship with your spouse. If it's your children, he'll use your children. If it's your job, he'll use your job. But God will use whatever it is. If you into fashion, he'll use fashion, where you'll see him and you'll see God, so that you'll take on a journey to start going. Somebody ought to praise God that God loves you so much. Aren't you glad that God doesn't try to get your attention using the same things he tries to get the attention of everybody else in the world? I love basketball. If God would have used golf to get my attention, I'd be like, deuces, God. Putting that little white ball in a hole just don't excite me. I'm a little confused. This is what you're doing out there all day. Right? But God uses what is passionate, what we're passionate about, to begin to draw us to him. So if you love something, don't feel like you can't follow that. Just, you got to make sure that you're not just following that. Okay, well, that's another story. Here's the thing. So God takes them on a journey because he knows they're looking for a solution. And they go to Herod. Look at verse 3 in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, because that's where the star landed for them. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, here's what's funny to me. The king is stressed out. We understand why he's stressed out, because there's like a new king is coming. So he got a little attitude and he troubled. But I don't understand why all of Jerusalem is troubled too. If the Savior of the world is coming and somebody's telling you, I saw a sign that he's here, why are you shaking in your boots? Now, I want you to think about the world. If I said Jesus is coming tonight, how many folks in Silicon Valley would be stressed out? You know why? Oh, snap. I ain't did what I was supposed to. Oh, man, I was supposed to go to church today. I was thinking about something. Oh, I should have done. This reason, you'll get troubled in your spirit when you haven't done what you're supposed to do to get ready for Jesus to come. When you know Jesus is coming and you've done what you're supposed to do, Mary was at full peace. She was like, praise him, let's go. So you can't wait, right? So I always found that interesting. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, so he gets all of the biblical scholars, the church people, the leaders. He says, come on in, because these wise men saw a star. He gets them together. Now, what do you think their response would be? I would be like, if I'm a religious leader, Jesus is here. Yes, I've been telling y'all all along he's coming. Told ya. I'd have been like, come on, y'all, let's go. I said he's coming, he's here. But no, that ain't what they did. They was like, They said, well, we did hear about this prophecy. And they started to declare the prophecy about how the baby was going to be born in Bethlehem. So Herod says, well, go on, go to Bethlehem. See, you would think they'd be like, what? You found the star? What? It's been thousands of years prophesied that he was going to come. Are you for real? We've been waiting for forever. Let's go. You would think that's how they thought, but they weren't thinking that way. All they did was they said, well, here's a prophecy we heard, so you can go look for him if you want to. They were not excited. They didn't say, let's go find this baby and worship him. I think it's because they felt like, I've already figured life out and I've already got all the answers. You got to be careful in church. that you don't get so saved for so long that you just got all it all figured it out, all the answers. Did I say figured it? It's been a long day. It's still the morning. You cannot be in church so long. I've been saved since I was 2.
Really?
That when people come in and they have questions, you don't have empathy for them. Because I already know all the answers. You know what? I always get challenged every time someone comes with deep theological questions, like, why did my friend pass away? Why did my divorce end? I've been saved for a long time. And you know what I tell them? I still don't know. You know why? Because I don't know. And I think the religious folks were so caught up in the I know that they were like, we don't need to seek this God out. We've already figured out things. But the Magi were seeking answers to a question. And they said, look, if you think he's in Jerusalem or Bethlehem, we will go wherever you think he is because I got to find that out. Now, I'm sure you have questions about God and life too. Maybe you wondered if God is so good, why there's so much suffering still in the world. Or maybe you wondered about if God is so good, why did I have these type of parents and these parents screw my whole life up? Maybe you're wondering, you know, well, if he really is the God of all creation, what's with this Big Bang thing? Or even if you're really God, why did you let me go through what I had to go through? There's pretty good evidence that wherever these kings or magi came from, they did not know that kind of God. They just had questions. So I want to tell you, it's all right if you're going through stuff and you have questions. I, as a pastor, am going to sit here and tell you, go on and ask the questions. Sometimes people will tell you, oh, no, no, you don't need to be questioning God. I say, yes, you do. I don't see anywhere in scripture that says, don't ask God a question. Nowhere. Even Job was asking questions. Job was asking some ridiculous questions. And God didn't say, don't ask me the questions. His responses weren't so nice, but it was like, well, where was you at, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? That don't mean God didn't say, don't answer him. Matter of fact, God Almighty chose to have a conversation in the midst of the questions. Whoever told you and lied to you and said you cannot question God, I want you to cancel that lie in your mind right now. It is such a lie. You can question and ask God, and God loves you so much that he wants to try to reach you to get the answers to those questions. It's so interesting. They had questions. So let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder, what is it going to take to get you an emotionally satisfying answer to your questions? You know, the question of suffering, the question of why your friend died, the question of why you exist. Could anyone ever say anything so powerful or definitive that it would absolutely settle the questions once and for all in your life? Often we live like an answer to that question would just resolve all my doubt, all of my worry, and will make the world a better place. You know, I can remember when my mother died. I was pregnant with my oldest son when she got diagnosed with cancer. She passed away 6 weeks later. I had my son, and my mother actually died 8 days after my son was born. And I believed God since I was 7 years old. I believed God for healing. I believed that God could do what he said he was going to do. I prayed. I sought the Lord. I prayed in tongues even, y'all. I was going in. And yet she still passed. And I said, you know what? It ain't even fair. It's not fair. And I was mad at God for weeks, and I didn't talk to him. How could he take my mother away when I needed her the most? God, I thought you said you were a healer. Well, where were you? Why didn't you heal her? I doubted God's ability to heal and his desire to even heal. I was struggling with faith. And I took all of that. My husband said, just tell God how you feel anyway. And I told him. Somewhere in the midst of that, something happened. And I remember one of our members, Latoya, she passed away last week. I was talking to her before she passed away. And the conversation we had, she said, Pastor, it's not fair. She's 31, passed away of cancer. It's not fair. And you know what I told her? I said, baby, you're right. It's not fair. It's just not fair. Her mother had passed when she was younger. I said, it wasn't fair when your mother died. It wasn't fair when my mom died. And it ain't fair now. It's just not fair. So I went through all that, and I was like, God, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? But here's a question for all of us who ask these types of questions. What if the answer to your deepest question isn't an answer at all? What if it's a person? What if it's a person? Think about it. If somebody could produce an answer that powerful, don't you think they would have given us answers like this a long time ago? We'd already heard it. And if we'd have heard the answer to those questions, would it have still stopped the suffering? If I would have learned why my mother passed when she did, do you think it still would have taken away the loss and the pain of her being gone? So it really don't matter if I got an answer to my question or not, does it? Now, I want you to look at this again and look at what happened to the Magi. When they followed the star, they found a person. It was a baby lying in a manger. And they found him and they worshiped him. Because they were not looking for the answers. They were really looking for a person. Help me understand this, Pastor. Remember when you was a kid and you stubbed your toe? And you cried, you know what? You didn't want, why did I stub my toe answered? You didn't want how my toe gonna get fixed. You wanted mama to wrap her loving arms around you and hold you and know that everything was gonna be all right. And when mama did that, you stopped crying. If daddy did it, you still cried. But when mama came, okay. Well, let's think about this. When you, your best friend and you have a breakup, y'all don't get along. You go to grandmama, grandmama got some cookies and you sit there and you talk to grandmama. It is the fact that grandmother is there for you that changes it. It's not the cookies. It's not that grandmother said anything so profound that changed you. It was that she was there. When you break up with your boo, girl or boy, whoever you want to, I don't know which one you have, but when you break up with your boo, it is not the fact that you want answers to why they did you the way they did. Even if you found an answer, I have been counseling people who go through breakthroughs, breakups, and I tell them stuff, and it don't matter what I tell them, they don't get it. How many of y'all been counseling friends who go through breakup and they just still don't get it? Because they don't want an answer. They want a person. They want you there. They want to talk to somebody. They want to know that somebody is listening. They want to know somebody cares. They want somebody to put their arms around them and say, forget the calories. Let's go after a tub of ice cream and get this thing on. That's what we want. We want a person. Even if we had the answers, we wouldn't accept them. Guys, let me help you. I have a love for the gentleman in our church, so I'm going to help you with your marriages. When you come home and your wife tells you what's wrong, she don't want an answer. She just wants you. So stop trying to give her an answer. Just be like, come on, baby, I know it was rough today. And in your mind, you're going to be like, but if she would just do this and they would just do this and we just don't even say it because she don't want it. Even when y'all, how many of y'all try to give her answers and it don't work? You don't have to answer because I know she's sitting next to you, but I know. You should see the guys in the AV booth. They're just cracking up. They're like, yeah, she's right. We want a person. When you've had a season of loss in your life, chances are you've looked for a little more than just an answer. You looked for a person. In fact, when things are most confusing and difficult, I think having the right person walk in the room changes everything for you. Makes everything better. Just this week, I was so mad at my children because they don't know how to listen. Maybe y'all have children who do, but I don't. And it seems like at 12 and 14, their ability to know how to listen gets even smaller. So I got a little mad this week, and I kicked them out the house. I said, get your stuff and go. It was about 10 o'clock at night. They were like, huh? I said, did I stutter? Get your stuff and go. If you think you grown enough where you don't have to listen to me, that you grown enough to be out on your own. You ain't got to live up in here. I don't owe you nothing. Get on about this house. Some of y'all don't like this method of parenting. I'm old school. I don't. So I kicked them out of the house. And I was mad. I called Jewel. I love Jewel. I was like, she's a single mom too. I said, Jewel, kids get on my last nerve. I was so angry. And then I calmed down enough because I heard one of them outside throwing up because he was crying so much. I was like, okay, God, this might be a little far. Plus, I'm like, what must the neighbors think? Kids on the front yard? Bring the kid back in. Have a talk with them. Tell them what their punishment is. And then I say to them, I say, now ask me, can you live in my house again? Can we live in your house again? I don't know. Let me think about it. So, I'm really steaming right now. Because you know what I'm steaming about is the fact that I told you to do something over and over and over and over again and you didn't do it. So I just can't take that. So anyway, next day, I'm still mad. I'm like seething mad. I'm trying to calm down because the Bible said don't go to bed when you're angry. And I'm like, God, I'm trying not to be angry, but I can't help it. I'm angry. And it's like nothing was calming me down. I was talking to God. I was even praying. I was like, Jesus, look, you keep me from killing him. I'm really trying not to kill him. And the next day, I had just picked one of the children up, and he had, again, not done what he was supposed to do that day. And, oh, man, I done lost it. My brother texts me. Hey, sis, what's up? My brother is my person. You know how you have a person that when they show up, it just feels like everything's all right? My brother texts me, and I said, don't buy that little sucker nothing for Christmas. My brother calls me. And, you know, you would think, being an uncle, he'd be like, oh, my gosh, just sis, calm down. We're going to take care of it. You know what he said? He said, come on, you can send him to foster care. I got your back. My person called, and all of a sudden, all the anger left, and all the rage went, and I left, and we were together. And it was just like my person changed everything. I was angry, and I was mad, and I was praying, and what God sent me was a person to answer the issue. What if the same is true with God? Maybe you think everything will be resolved when your questions are answered or when you at least get your big question answered. But there's this guy, Frederick Buechner, and he's a great preacher and an author. And he says, imagine if God took the universe and the skies and the stars and he decided to rearrange them so that in every language, in every tongue, he would write an answer. And he would just rearrange the word so that the word would say, I really do exist. If he were to take the sky and rearrange those stars and align them in such a way that everybody could read, I really do exist. You know, I would imagine that churches would start overflowing, right? That crime would stop and peace would fall over the world. But Buechner says, he says he would imagine that at some point, as they look up, because each and every night God would write something new to answer your next question. He's like, you know, nights could go by. He said, but I imagine at some point, probably a little kid will look up to their father, see those words in the sky, and say these words. So what? So what if he does exist? What difference does that make? Even having the answers to the questions, we still would be like, so what? And in the twinkling of the eye, the messages would no longer make a difference. Think about it this way. If you did get the answers to your question, would that ever be enough? If I got the answer to the question why my mother died of cancer and why didn't God heal her, would it be enough? If you did get the answers to the questions about your purpose, about your marriage, about your destiny, your theological questions, would it ever really be enough? Whether we have proof or not, an answer or not, we would still turn away. We all want proof, but Buechner argues this, that even with all that proof, it's not the kind of assurance we need. What we need to know is not just that God exists, amidst the amazing brightness of the stars, but that there is a God right here with me in the thick of my day-to-day mess, in my day-to-day life, who may not write messages in the heavens, but one way or another, he's trying to get a message to us. Just as he got a message to the wise man, God orchestrated things in such a way that they could be led to the right person, the person of Jesus Christ. Just like God has orchestrated things in your life to bring you here this morning. That's the answer the wise men, the magi, found that night. It was the person of Jesus Christ laying in a manger, the Savior of the world. They were looking for an answer, but they found a person, Emmanuel, God with us. And maybe that's what you need. More than an answer, just knowing God is with you. You need God with you, Emmanuel. You need God with you in the heartbreak. You need God with you in the breakup. You need God with you in the mess of your family. You need God with you when you're dealing with the stresses in your finances. You need God with you when there's a death in your family or of a loved one. You need God with you when you're trying to make sense of life. You need God with you when you got success but still feel empty. You need God with you when you're feeling strange even though people are around you and they love you. You need God with you when you're feeling unloved. You need God with you when you're feeling lonely. You need God with you when you don't feel at peace. You need God with you when the doctor says there's nothing more we can do. You need God with you when you're facing a challenge. What is it you really need is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the wise men found. They didn't find an answer. They found the person of Jesus Christ. My hope is that you don't leave this place without knowing that God is with you and that he loves you. And what he's looking for more than anything is a response back from you. A decision that says, you know what, God, I want to be with you too. See, God didn't just come to the earth. He came for you. He came for the Magi. He came for Mary. He came for Joseph. He came for the shepherds. And he came for you. It's very personal. God did not come to give you the answers. He came to give you himself. And I want to say to those of you who are going through difficult situations, God brought you here today so you can get him. I don't have an answer. I don't know why. I'm not going to act all religious and pretend I got some answer to why. Why did God heal this person and not me? Why is God moving? Why do I don't know. But what I do know, what I do have to give you is this, Jesus. Just let him walk with you through. Go ahead and go on the journey with him. He'll be right there with you. This past couple weeks in our Bible reading, if you're still following the Bible reading plan, we read about the three Hebrew boys who got placed in a fire. And the king who put him there said, I don't see three, I see four. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. And they came out of that fire with not a hair burned. It wasn't that they didn't go through a fire. It was that because he was with them, the fire didn't touch them. It's not going to be that you ain't going to go through stuff. If you pull God in with you, when you go through stuff, you'll come out unharmed. That's what God wants. Come on and stand to your feet and begin to praise the Lord. How many of you are glad you got God with you? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you're here today and you're like, you know what? I kind of been missing that. I've been looking for an answer, not realizing that the answer was in the person of Jesus. I want you to know that God is saying, I'm here right now. All you've got to do is make a decision and say yes. Yes, God, I want you with me. I want you with me. I want you to grab the hands of the person you're standing next to. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, forgive me. I think I've been looking in the wrong places. But I'm so glad that you will use anything to point me back to you. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I want God with me. I've tried a lot of other stuff. I've been looking in the wrong places, but I need this God. I want to accept that invitation to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe I've already had that. I've accepted it, but I've just walked away. Maybe I've taken a little break, but right now I'm ready to come back. If that's you, I want you to squeeze the hand of the person you're standing next to. Just squeeze their hand as a sign to say, yes, God. God with me. Yes. If someone squeezed your hand, would you do me a favor? Just lift their hands high in the air. Someone squeezed your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I want you to do me a favor. If somebody squeezed your hand, I want you to do me a favor and bring them up to the altar. Look, I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I won't even make you stand in front of the church and say anything. I just want to pray with you. I want to make sure that you understand the decision that you're making. Come on up, our prayer team. Those of you who are on the prayer team, come on up, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Go on and spread out. Thank you, Jesus. Look at God. Come on, hallelujah. He used whatever method got you here today to get you here for this moment, right now. Now, here, do me a favor. If someone squeezed your hand and you brought them to the altar, I want you to just stand behind them as a sign of support. I'm with you. So we know who to. There we go. I'm with you. I got you. I got your back. Now, the Bible says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Jesus comes and enters and helps right there. Brand new life begins. I know it sounds a little overwhelming, but just it's one of those things that we just say, look, this is how you get Jesus. As simple as that. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Now, look, you don't have to say it by yourself. We got a whole church behind you. I'm going to ask church if you'll say it with them so they won't feel alone, so they know that they're not doing this by themselves. Would you just repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner in need of a Savior. God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. See, Jesus, I believe in you, and I need you with me. I believe you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sin. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Fill me. And be with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on and give the Lord a hand praise just like that. You have God with you just like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're celebrating with you. The Bible says that when you pray a prayer like that and you ask Jesus in your heart, that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They are throwing a party. They getting sitting out. They like, come on, the DJ is kicking in heaven right about now. We are so ecstatic for you. Hey, our leaders, come on up, our leaders and prayer team. Our leaders and prayer team are here. If you would just make sure you talk to one of them before you leave, all they want to do is make sure that you understand the prayer you just prayed. If you have any questions or if you'd like prayer, they're here for you. We want you to know we love you. We're so grateful for you. And look, you know what? You're the reason we're here. God brought us here today, had worship service, did this whole, got us in this big old room, well, kind of sort of big room, got us here for you. That's how crazy he is about you. He loves you. I hope that as you begin your new journey with him, that you're just poured and showered with the love of Jesus. Let me pray for you. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. I'm going to ask those of you that are at the altar, just go ahead and find someone. They'll pray with you. Those of you who'd like, if you're not at the altar, if you want to help set up, you can go set up afterwards. Or at least give us a few minutes and we can all go together. All right? Can I pray over everybody? How's everybody feeling? All right. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. When people ask how you're doing this week, may your response be...
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to info@rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.